Today's podcast sponsored by RE/MAX Alliance, thanking our country's heroes with discounted fees to sell or purchase a home. Money back at closing as a special thank you. Call Stacy 303-808-0616.
Today's show is brought to you by Tee It Up for the Troops. Divots can be replaced, freedom cannot.
We would like to remind all of our listeners that the opinions of individuals, shows, or DJs do not necessarily reflect those of NBR Radio. Please keep in mind this is entertainment and intended for the listener with a sense of humor.
Portions of this program may not be suitable for those under the age of 18. Parental guidance is suggested.
There's a lot of nonprofit organizations out there.
Not like the Ace Train Show.
I don't care if it sounds crazy and has a brain injury. He is funny as
Ace Train Show has to be my favorite show of all time.
To the Ace Train Show.
We're in the business to make dreams come true.
Thank you to all the vets out there.
The Ace Train Show.
I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but that was awesome.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for riding the train today. Just letting you know that this show has been pre-recorded, but next Monday we will have a live show. And keep in mind, you can chime in. We'll have administrators and stuff online, mbradio.us. That's mikebravoradio.us. And the Total Talk text line, powered by Freedom Pop, 720-330-8383. Unfortunately, we won't be taking calls today, but like I said, you can tune in right on the app and chat with us on the chat room. So, with that being said, let's get to it. Broadcasting from Orlando, Florida, here in Disney World, you're listening to another edition of the H-Train Show. Broadcasting wherever internet apps are bought. We are on AFN, AFRN, IRN, and, of course, Military Brotherhood Radio, Radio with Reason, where we target and where we're dedicated in helping those men and women in uniform overseas, stateside, so that they can stay connected to today's music, today's society, today's life. Showing them that there are more programs out there beyond the VA. My name's H-Train, and thank you for riding with me. Like I said, I'm here in Orlando, Florida, and we're having a great time. You know, February, we're wearing shorts. It's amazing. I want to bring everybody up to speed real quick and let you know that I don't know how many times my mom said, "Well, you've been to Florida before, so I don't know, you know, why do you want to go?" Hello, parents. If we've been to Florida, or we've been to Disney World, or any amusement park, and we were under six, we do not remember it. Well, I'm here, I'm remembering it, and so far, it's been great. There's more stuff to do for children, but they do have stuff to do here as well for adults. One of the shows that I have to suggest is a Bug's Life is Tough. That's definitely one that you want to check out. Also, I believe it's going to be in end of 2019. Star Wars Land is coming. You definitely want to check that out. I got a picture taken with my service dog with Chewbacca and Ryan Lynn, and you should have saw the way that my dog looked and acted towards Chewbacca. He didn't know what to think. It was kind of funny. But when it came to Rylan, it's like, oh, dude, get away from me. Rylan was trying to recruit my service dog for Walt Disney. So, but you don't want to hear that. You want to hear the differences. So here we go. Here's the differences. So the difference between Disneyland and Disney World is Disneyland, you're going to be able to see that in one day. Disney World, you're not going to be able to see that in one day. You're going to have to take at least 4 or 5 days. Especially if you have kids, you're going to want to take a lot more. So Disney World consists of Animal Kingdom, where it's like a petting zoo. You're gonna see petting zoo. You're gonna see different shows, Finding Nemo, stuff like that. Then you're gonna go to Epcot. Epcot is space travel. Like if you want to be an astronaut, if you want to see what the astronauts go through training and stuff like that, Epcot is definitely the place that you want to go. Also, you can travel the world. It has, I believe, 11 countries. And, you can experience. And I found it very peculiar that when I went into the Germany store, they actually spoke Deutsch. So that caught me a little off guard. Then you have none other than the Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom is where all the magic happens, the parades. Very, very busy, very, very full. I believe that's the original park, and it looks great. But it does, it's kind of antique looking, believe it or not. But Cinderella's castle's there, all the characters are out there. Bless their heart being out there, because it's those character costumes are not they're not cool. They're kind of a little bit warm. The difference between Hollywood Studios and Universal Studios is with Hollywood Studios, you have movies like Indiana Jones. You have movies like Roger Rabbit. These are the movies that Hollywood Studios sheds light on. Universal Studios, a different company, different thing. It's like Jaws. So that's the only difference, is one's Disney Resort, the other is not. You would not believe how many times I have asked that question, because I didn't know what the difference between Universal and Hollywood Studios is. So that's the difference. Before we go to a music break, I just wanted to make sure and to let everybody know today's Military Nonprofit of the Week. I guess I don't have to say Military Nonprofit of the Week, because most of these nonprofits, you don't have to be military. They'll help you even if you're a civilian, some of them. But today's Military Nonprofit that we're going to be interviewing is Military Heroes Foundation. Now, next Monday, it will be our first live Monday, February 20th, and we'll talk a little bit about this later in the show, but February 20th, we're doing a salute to female first responders. I think it's very important that we know that there's not just men, there's also women. But with that being said, it is that time. We're going to go off and we're going to go to a music break. And the music that we're playing today is the top 6 off the pop charts, right off Billboard. So you'll hear today's music. And then later on today, the tribute to the troops. We'll be talking and describing them, and I believe it's Eisenhower and McGinnis. So those are the two heroes of the day that we'll be talking with. And until then, keep keep tuned here. We've got the best music. And, yeah, we're going to have fun. It's going to be a good show, everybody. So, going on a music break. Here we go. We're going to go on a music break, and when we come back, we're going to find out what this nonprofit is all about and what they're doing for our warriors today. Stay with us. You're listening to the H-Train Show. Don't go away.
Your breath loves me like Novocaine, and we are always high. Keep it strange. Okay, yeah, I'm insane, but you're the same. Let me paint the picture. Couch by the kitchen. Hey, nothing but your heels on. Losing all religion. You're my pretty little fiction, and I'm that voice inside your head that keeps telling you to listen to all the bad things I say and you said. I want you forever, even when we're not together. Scars on my body so I can take you wherever life. Scars on my body, I can look at you and never get
home. Am I out of my head? Am I out of my mind? If you only knew the bad things I like, don't think that I can't explain it. What can I say? It's complicated. Don't matter what you say. You and me,
right?
Cause we're just living between the sheets. I want you forever, even when we're not together.
Yeah. Scars on my body, so I can take you wherever, life.
I want you forever, even when we're not together.
So scars on my body, I can look at you and never yet.
Am I out of my mind? If you only get the bad things alike, don't.
just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention. She praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we are made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. 'Cause cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see, you're beautiful. We're stars and we're beautiful. Oh, oh, oh. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see, you're beautiful. We're stars and we're beautiful. She has dreams to be an envy, so she's starving, you know. Cover girls eat nothing. She says beauty is pain and there's beauty in everything. What's a little bit longer? I can go a little while longer. She fades away. She don't see her perfect. She don't understand she's worth it. All that beauty goes deeper than the surface. Oh, oh. So to all the girls that's hurting, let me be your mirror. Help you see a little bit clearer. The light that shines within. There's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. And you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see, you're beautiful. We're stars and we're beautiful. Oh,
I'm overzealous. When I'm down, I get real down. When I'm high, I don't come down. I get angry, baby, believe me. I can love you just like that, and I can leave you just as fast. But you don't judge me, 'cause if you did, baby, I'd judge you too. No, you don't judge me, 'cause if you did, baby, I'd judge you too. 'Cause I got issues, but you got them too. So give them all to me, and I'll give mine to you. Bask in the glory of all our problems, 'cause we got the kind of love it takes to solve for. Yeah, I got issues, and one of them is how bad I need you. Do shit on purpose. You get mad and you break things. Feel bad, try to fix things. But you're perfect, poorly wired circuit. And got hands like an ocean, push you out, pull you back in. Cause you don't judge me. Cause if you did, baby, I would judge you too. No, you don't judge me. Cause you see it from the same point of view. Cause I got issues, but you got them too. So give them up. One of them is how bad I need you.
I got issues. You got them too.
One of them is how bad I need you.
I got issues. You got them too.
I'm Sammy Gallen, and I'm a NASCAR analyst for Mile High Sports AM 1340, and you're listening to the H-Train Show.
Listening to the H-Train Show right here on Military Brotherhood Radio, Radio with Reason. And today's Nonprofit of the Week. We have a treat for you. We're talking with Tom McDonald. He is the founder of the organization Military Heroes Foundation. Tom, we know that you have a busy schedule, and we really appreciate you giving not only your time, but also kind of your service as well, because you're helping a lot of veterans, getting the word out, helping. And me and you talked about this yesterday in brief, that we feel that the VA is very, very overwhelmed. So organizations like yours that are doing what it can for veterans, we really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for everything you do.
Not a problem, not a problem. Hey, we're just gonna get right at it. So what is the story about Brian McDonald? I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Sure. The organization is, the full name is the Brian McDonald Military Heroes Foundation, and it was named after my son, Brian, who lost his life serving in Iraq in December of 2006. We set up the foundation, I think maybe a little bit of it selfish, that we want to set up something that helped everybody remember him. We don't want him to be forgotten. But the thing that we really wanted to do was to, in his name, do maybe some good for our veterans. I think they deserve everything they can get, everything good that they can get, I should say.
Right.
And we certainly want to be able to help where we can.
Awesome. Can you please explain a little bit about the organization to our listeners, what the foundation exactly does to help our military and our veterans today?
Sure. So when we first set up the foundation, our real goal was to help individuals, and we're in Minnesota, so this is really a Minnesota organization, and our goal is to help the Minnesota's veterans and their families. And when we first started to look at individuals, one of the things we found is that the individuals that really could use some help aren't the folks that asked for it. Whenever we did find those individuals, the nomination or the request usually came from another family member, an aunt or mother or sister, somebody like that, that really knew that this person needed something. And really what we try to do is give them something tangible. An example is we found a guy from St. Paul area who lost his leg, and he was a runner. And we ended up getting him on a hand pedal bike that so he could continue, maybe not the running route, but he could certainly use that hand pedal bike. We found those kinds of needs. We found people that have injuries that kept them from doing the things that they really wanted to do. The hunter, where we got him an ATV to be able to get out back out hunting and some things like that. One of the things that happened as a result of that is that we also found that there were some organizations that shared the same goals that we did. And one of the big organizations that we found in our area was they were intending to build a Fisher House at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And so we got involved, and we realized what a great organization they are. And so through the Brian McDonough Military Heroes Foundation, we raised a lot of funds to help build that that building in Minneapolis. Other things we've done is provide, through other nonprofits, service dogs to help with PTSD issues, those types of things. We've also helped to buy homes for the veterans, wounded veterans that are looking for a home. There's the organizations that we've worked with to get them mortgage-free homes. So we're pretty proud of what we've done here in Minnesota.
Awesome. And me and you talked briefly yesterday about the organization. And to correct me if I'm uninformed, but right now, as it stands, this foundation is more regional to Minnesota than it is national at this point.
That's correct. You know, a lot of grassroots foundations like ours only have limited resources, and so we do have to limit our support to those in Minnesota or with Minnesota connections.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. But at least you guys are doing something, and that kind of buries the burden when it comes to, you know, other nonprofits. Especially those that, you know, I haven't even got the numbers for Minnesota, which I probably should have before we did this interview. But I know just in Colorado alone, we have 3,000 nonprofits that deal with the military. I don't even know how many it is in Minnesota. I can only imagine that there's a lot. So you guys are doing your part. That's what's important. Shed some light to our listeners on, you know, for those that are listening in the Minnesota area, what events do you have coming up that, you know, that might get veterans, you know, wanting to be a part of this organization, maybe even getting the listeners, hey, I want to do something in my home state, Minnesota. Wow, this is great. What events you got coming up that you can talk to us about?
Well, our biggest one is an annual event in August. It's the second Friday of August. We have a golf tournament out at Oak Glen Golf Course in Stillwater, just a little bit on the east end of the Twin Cities. Actually, the Minnesota-Wisconsin border is where Stillwater is located. We do a golf tournament there where we fill up two flights. We have we keep it trying to about 120 golfers in the morning, but we have 144 in the afternoon. And in the last couple of years, we've had to go to a second course for an afternoon round. So we have in excess of 300 golfers that participate. Altogether, we have around 500 people that come out to the event. That's our biggest fundraiser. That's in August of 2017. We do some other smaller ones throughout the year. We do have the next one that we have coming up. If anybody is a snowmobiler, we don't have any snow here yet, but
you can have some of ours, okay?
we'll take it. We do have a snowmobiling event coming up. It's called, it's in actually in northwest Wisconsin. We're right on the Minnesota-Wisconsin border, but it's called the Webb Lake Yellow Ribbon Run. Last year we had 97 snowmobilers participated.
Wow.
It's a poker run around in a small area. We get great participation from folks from the Twin Cities and from that area of northwest Wisconsin. So there's a couple that we have coming up.
So on average a year, how many fundraisers compared to events do you guys hold?
We do the main large one, the golf tournament that we talked about. We do a number of small ones during the year, but I'm going to say that it's about altogether about five events a year that we do. We do participate in with some other organizations that are fundraisers for our foundation, even though they're run through other organizations. But the total that we run of 4 to 5 a year.
Okay. All right. Outstanding. And our last question is, it's kind of a two-part question. I'm going to ask you what your web address is so that our listeners can donate, or, you know, they can share to some other soldiers, hey, these guys are doing some great things, you know, like the snowmobile. You might want to get involved with them. What is your web address so that, you know, we can share that? And then the second part of the question is, this is like the last 2 minutes of the interview where I say, this is your time to shine. So if you want to get one point across to our listeners, this is the last thing that you say, you know, just to kind of give them that motivational butt slap for the day.
Sure. First of all, our website is militaryheroesfoundation.org. I like to tell everybody heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S.
Okay.
And I'd like to add, when you go to that website, you'll see that right now we do have something else we do as a fundraiser. We sell a calendar that's called Minnesota Fallen Heroes Remembered. That calendar features each month one fallen soldier from Minnesota, and the story, pictures and stories by their families, and it's a $10 item. You can order them on our website online, and we'll get them out to you right away. Thing about our foundation, I just tell you that we're a nonprofit that has that nobody's paid. We're all volunteers. We do raise between $80,000 and $100,000 per year. 100% of that goes out. I guess I can't say 100% because you have to pay the accountants, but
right.
97% probably of our money goes out to the veterans, and we have been able to raise for Fisher Health alone $500,000 over the last 7 years, and then of course to some of the other organizations we talked about and the other individuals. So we're real proud to be a part of helping the vets in Minnesota.
That's awesome. That really is awesome, Tom. And we're running out of time, and I really appreciate you. We got our music going now. We really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this foundation. You heard it, everybody. You can Google Heroes, and you'll be able to find them. Tom, once again, thank you for coming on to the show, and nothing but luck to you, my friend.
And thank you for having me.
And no problem. And you are once again listening to the Ace Train Show right here on Military Brotherhood Radio, Radio with Reason. Stand by for the music break.
Let's start living dangerously. Dangerously. Whoa. Talk to me, baby. I'm rolling up on
fucking delicious. Talk to me, girl.
Talk to me, baby.
Christine White, future Paralympic hopeful. You're listening to the H Train Show.
All right, and we are back, and none other than you are listening to the H Train Show here on NBR Radio. We just had a great conversation with the nonprofit of the week, Military Ears Foundation, and wow. Yeah, if you missed that, make sure that you check out our podcast. Our podcast, which is now sponsored by RE/MAX, and the one thing that I wanted to make sure everybody knew is that there are. I want to make sure everybody knows that they are our sponsors for this new segment that we have just created called Tribute to the Troops.
Tribute to Troops, brought to you by RE/MAX Alliance, thanking our country's heroes.
This is an MBR moment of heroism.
Sir, I don't know how to tell this story.
Well, you got to, Joe. You tell the American people what these men did here. You tell them how my troopers died.
Hey, this is JB with today's hero in history. Today is Dwight D. Eisenhower. Dwight D. Eisenhower, the 34th President of the United States, promoted Adams for peace at the United Nations General Assembly in order to ease Cold War tensions. Dwight D. Eisenhower was born on October 14, 1890, in Denison, Texas. In 1945, he was appointed U.S. Army Chief of Staff. He became the first Supreme Allied Commander of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, in 1951. In 1952, he was elected U.S. President. He served two terms before retiring to Gettysburg in 1961. Eisenhower died on March 28, 1969, at Walter Reed Army Hospital in Washington, D.C. Dwight D. Eisenhower was born October 14, 1890, in Denison, Texas, to David Jacob Eisenhower and Ida Elizabeth Stover Eisenhower. Dwight was the third of his parents' seven sons. His parents had moved from Abilene, Kansas, to Denison, Texas, before he was born. In Denison, the family lived in a tiny house near the railroad tracks while David cleaned train engines for a living. When Dwight was a year and a half old, his family moved back to Abilene so David could take a better job at his brother-in-law's crematory. In Abilene, Dwight's 10-month-old brother Paul died of diphtheria when Dwight was 4 years old. Despite the tragedy, Dwight formed happy childhood memories in Abilene that he would cherish throughout his life. Among those were his days playing baseball and football at Abilene High School. After Eisenhower graduated from high school in 1909, he joined his father and uncle at Bell Springs Creamery while also moonlighting as a fireman. Eisenhower used the money he earned to pay his younger brother Edgar's tuition at the University of Michigan. The brothers had a deal. After 2 years, they'd switch places, with Edgar then working to support Eisenhower's college education. Luckily for Edgar, he never had to live up to the end of his deal. In 1911, Dwight landed an appointment at the United States Military Academy in West Point, New York, where attendance was free of charge. Once again, he was a star on the football field, until a series of knee injuries forced him to stop playing. In 1915, Eisenhower proudly graduated from West Point and was commissioned as a second lieutenant. After graduation, Eisenhower was stationed in Texas, where he met and started dating 18-year-old Mamie Geneva Dowd from Denver, Colorado. The couple married 9 months later, on July 1, 1916. Eisenhower was promoted to first lieutenant on his wedding day. For the first years of Eisenhower's military career, he and Mamie moved from post to post throughout Texas, Georgia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. In 1917, Mamie gave birth to the couple's first son, Dowd Dwight. That same year, the United States entered World War I. Although Eisenhower hoped to be commissioned overseas, he was instead appointed to run a tank training center at Camp Colt in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Throughout the war and afterward, Eisenhower continued to rise through the ranks. By 1920, he was promoted to major, after having volunteered for the Tank Corps and the War Department's first transcontinental motor convoy the previous year. In 1921, tragedy struck at home when the Eisenhower's firstborn son, Dowd Dwight, died of scarlet fever at the age of 3. Mamie gave birth to a second son, John Sheldon Dowd, in 1922. That year, Eisenhower assumed the role of executive officer to General Fox Connor in the Panama Canal Zone. In 1924, at Connor's urging, Eisenhower applied to the Army's prestigious graduate school, the Command and General Staff School at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and was accepted. He graduated first in his class of 245 in 1926 with a firm reputation for his military prowess. From 1927 to 1929, Eisenhower toured and reported for the War Department under General John Pershing. After finishing his tour in 1929, Eisenhower was appointed Chief Military Aide under General Douglas MacArthur. From 1935 to 1939, Eisenhower served under MacArthur as Assistant Military Advisor to the Philippines. Eisenhower returned to the United States in early 1940. Over the next 2 years, he was stationed in California and Washington State. In 1941, after a transfer to Fort Sam Houston, Eisenhower became Chief of Staff for the Third Army. Eisenhower was soon promoted to Brigadier General for his leadership of the Louisiana Maneuvers. Late that year, he was transferred to the War Plans Division in Washington, D.C. In 1942, he was promoted to Major General. Just months later, he became Commander-in-Chief of the Allied Forces and led Operation Torch, the Allied invasion of North Africa. On D-Day, June 6, 1944, Eisenhower commanded the Allied forces in the Normandy invasion. In December of that year, he was promoted to 5-star rank. After Germany's surrender in 1945, he was made military governor of the U.S.-occupied zone. Eisenhower then returned home to Abilene and received a hero's welcome. A few months later, he was appointed U.S. Army Chief of Staff. In 1948, he was elected president of Columbia University, a position he held until 1950, when he decided to leave Columbia to accept an appointment as the first Supreme Allied Commander of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. While in Paris with NATO, Eisenhower was encouraged by Republican emissaries to run for President of the United States. In 1952, Eisenhower retired from active service and returned to Abilene to announce his candidacy for the Republican Party nomination. On November 4, 1952, after winning the election by a landslide, Eisenhower was elected the United States' 34th president. His domestic policy picked up where Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal and Harry Truman's Fair Deal programs left off. In foreign policy, Eisenhower made reducing Cold War tensions through military negotiation a main focus of his administration. In 1953, he orchestrated an armistice that brought peace to South Korea's border. Also that year, Eisenhower made his famous Atoms for Peace speech at the United Nations General Assembly. The United States and Russia had both recently developed atomic bombs, and the speech promoted applying atomic energy to peaceful uses rather than using it for weaponry and warfare. In 1955, Eisenhower met with Russian, British, and French leaders at Geneva to further quell the threat of atomic war. In 1956, Eisenhower was re-elected to a second term, winning by an even wider margin than in his first election, despite the fact that he had just recently recovered from a heart attack. Over the course of his second term, Eisenhower continued to promote his Atoms for Peace program. In his second term, he also grappled with the crisis in Lebanon and the Suez. Accomplishments during his two terms included creating the U.S. Information Agency and establishing Alaska and Hawaii as states. Eisenhower also supported the creation of the interstate highway system during his time in office. His other distinctions include signing the 1957 Civil Rights Act and setting up a permanent Civil Rights Commission. Eisenhower was additionally responsible for the signing the bill to form the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA. Poised to leave office in January of 1961, Eisenhower gave a televised farewell address in which he warned the nation against the dangers of the Cold War military-industrial complex. Following his presidency, Eisenhower retired to a farmhouse in Gettysburg with his wife Mamie. Although he had resigned his commission as a general when he became president, when he left office, his successor, President Kennedy, reactivated his commission. He also kept an office at Gettysburg College for the remainder of his life, where he held meetings and wrote his memoirs. Eisenhower died on March 28, 1969, at Walter Reed Army Hospital in Washington, D.C., following a long period of suffering from a heart-related illness. In addition to a state funeral in the nation's capital, a military funeral was held in Eisenhower's beloved hometown of Abilene, Kansas. Today's recent hero in history is Private First Class Ross A. McGinnis. He received the Congressional Medal of Honor, and the citation reads, Private First Class Ross A. McGinnis distinguished himself by acts of gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty while serving as an M2 50 caliber machine gunner, 1st Platoon, Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 26th Infantry Regiment, in connection with combat operations against an armed enemy in northeast Baghdad, Iraq, on December 4, 2006. That afternoon, his platoon was conducting combat control operations in an effort to reduce and control sectarian violence in the area. While Private McGinnis was manning the M2 50 caliber machine gun, a fragmentation grenade thrown by an insurgent fell through the gunner's hatch into the vehicle. Reacting quickly, he yelled grenade, allowing all four members of his crew to prepare for the grenade's blast. Then, rather than leaping from the gunner's hatch to safety, Private McGinnis made the courageous decision to protect his crew. In a selfless act of bravery, in which he was mortally wounded, Private McGinnis covered the live grenade, pinning it between his body and the vehicle and absorbing most of the explosion. Private McGinnis' gallant action directly saved four men from certain serious injury or death. Private First Class McGinnis' extraordinary heroism and selflessness at the cost of his own life above and beyond the call of duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. At this time, all of us from the H-Train Show and Military Brotherhood Radio salute Ross A. McGinnis.
All right, everyone. So it is that time again. It is another music break. Hopefully you enjoy the tribute to the troops. I'm learning a lot by reading past stories and today's stories as well. But I'll even tell you more about that when we come back from this music break. We're going to talk about who we're going to interview next week, and I'm going to tell you my take on what I learned today. So whatever you do, stay with us. Do not go away.
Before I met you, I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart, moved to the city in a broke down car, and 4 years no calls, now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar, and shoulder, pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older.
good as the day I met you. I forget just why I left you. I was insane. Stay and play that Blink 182 song. That we beat to death in Tucson, okay.
Shoulder, pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your room, and I can blow that we ain't never getting older.
Operation Destination Homebound, and you're listening to the
All right, everyone. So once again, you're listening to the H Train Show here on MBR Radio. And, you know, I can't just say MBR Radio because we're on like five networks. We're on networks only for the reason they want to help our veterans. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to help our veterans is if this show, you know, gets out and this show informs not only community, but our veterans and soldiers so they know what nonprofits are out there to help. In fact, to tell you a reason, just a quick story, and then we'll go to the 2-minute warning. But when the government shutdown happened, the possible government shutdown happened, I had a friend who was a family member, and I didn't even know she existed, to be honest with you. She's like a distant cousin, and she wrote me, and she's like, look, my boyfriend, he's going through some issues. Do you have any advice? Is there help for him? You know, financial stuff. And I'm like, well, yeah. Unfortunately, today in today's age, regular radio stations, they have to play 60% of their airtime during the week for a nonprofit. Unfortunately, that time that they are playing that nonprofit PSA, well, unfortunately, it's like really early in the morning and people aren't up unless you work graveyard shift. And I'm like, wow, you know, there's got to be something that I can do. And then when I got back from Sochi, I'm like, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to interview nonprofits, bring them on to help soldiers and veterans, because they didn't even know. The only one that they knew about was WWP. They didn't know about any others. And there's so many out there, and we're just here to facilitate and to help you. So that's the story. That's the reason why we do what we do. But it's getting that time, everybody. It is the two-minute warning.
The two-minute warning is brought to you by...
5-5-4-4-3-3-2
Common Ground Golf Course, a place for all and all the game teaches.
All right, so what I learned today is I learned another great nonprofit out there that can not only help our troops, but, you know, helping our veterans as well. Yeah, sure, it might be only in Minnesota, and it might not be in any other state yet, but, you know, things can change. So that's what I learned, and... next week we've got our next week is February 20th. We start our live shows on Monday, and with that live show, we're still working it, but we're pretty sure that it's going to be our first responders show. Don't know yet. I haven't figured out if I want to do February 20th or February 27th, our first responder show. But keep tuned into our Facebook page, and you'll find out. In fact, I tell you what, I might have already made up my mind. Let me look at my calendar thing real quickie here. And we'll see if I had already made my mind up. Well, it doesn't look like I have made my mind up. So, oh, yes, I have made my mind up. So the 20th is going to be the first responder show. And then the 26th is going to be our remote in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So you want to be sure to tune in for that. Well, everybody, it is that time. It is time for me to skedaddle out of here. Hopefully, everybody had an awesome time. I know I did. And remember, every Monday and Friday, right here, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, proving once again, there are more programs out there beyond the VA. My name's H-Train, and I'm out of here. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.